Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 19th of January 2012. And today I'm joined on the line from the UK by Charles Ferrier of NoCCTV at no-cctv.org.uk. So Charles, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Hi there, you're welcome.
Well, this is your first time on the program and perhaps the first time that some of the viewers and listeners might have heard of NoCCTV. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your organization and how it came to be founded.
Well, in about 2007, the UK was still expanding its surveillance network. There was very little organized opposition to it. I lived in an area of Oxford where they were going to install some cameras. I decided that I wasn't happy with that, and I looked for where I could get resources to fight those cameras. I realized there really was nowhere, and it was very, very difficult. But once we did some research and we found how the cameras were being put up and the evidence against, we actually found there was a huge amount of stuff out there that was usable, and there was this lack of a resource. So we set up NoCCTV, we campaigned against the cameras in that area, and then decided to spread that knowledge to other people to try and encourage other people to equally use that information and fight against cameras.
Well, as I'm sure many of my listeners and viewers are aware, the UK is in fact the most surveilled society on the planet, and with the startling number of cameras in pretty much every municipality. Perhaps you can speak a little bit about the surveillance culture there in the UK.
Well, it's a strange one because it's just grown up so slowly and so gradually. What happened was in the 1990s, there were a few events which pushed it forwards. The most famous was there was an abduction of a child from a shopping center, and the images were shown on television. And this suddenly became a rallying call for cameras. Nobody stopped to actually think whether the cameras, one, stopped the crime, two, really helped solve the crime in any meaningful way. What happened was the images became just the thing that people could remember. And if you mention that incident to most people in the UK above a certain age, they can see those images in their mind. It's another one of these media events where they seared an image into everyone's mind. And this suddenly allowed people to just accept the expansion of this stuff. It was for protecting children. It was a good thing. And the government got behind it and put money into it. And during the 1990s, millions of pounds were spent on just installing CCTV all over the country. Local authorities got funding from central government. No one ever asked any questions. No one really stopped to think whether it worked. And then by the time you get to the end of the 90s, the studies started to come through and show that it wasn't actually doing what people thought it was doing, but it was too late. The momentum had got going. Everyone saw it as a vote winner. And then the technology started to upgrade. And that's the problem we're at now, because it's moving into whole different realms. And the fact that it isn't doing what it was supposed to do is left as an irrelevance. So it's a very strange and slow, gradual process. And I wonder if it had come in quickly, whether the UK would have accepted it. It's the gradual tiptoe that's allowed it to happen, really.
Precisely right. And I noticed even in Canada back in the early part of the last decade, I noticed that there were a lot of television shows that were coming, sourcing from the UK, built around silly criminals and exciting car chases and things that had been captured on CCTV that were being sort of transported to the Canadian television market and shown there as well. So I assume these source back to UK shows and things of that sort. But I'm wondering, to what extent has the media picked up on and furthered and even created this sort of video surveillance meme that has so far penetrated the UK consciousness?
To a huge degree. The media's involvement is huge. I mean, there's a problem in CCTV. It's got the word TV in there, and TV used to mean, that it was on a screen, but really now it sort of means that it can be sourced to television. The overselling of CCTV has been huge. The media wants images to go with their story. That's what they thrive on. Print media, photos in the newspapers, television, they need those images. So this has become a free source of images for them. And they illustrate a story with these things. Now, what's happened is that's really confused people, because what they've seen is, here's a crime, here's some pictures. Well, if you really thought about it, you should spot that means that the cameras have no real value, because the crime is taking place. You're showing us film of crime. Therefore, one of the stated aims of CCTV was to prevent crime. It was a deterrent value, allegedly. And yet there we're seeing the deterrent fractured immediately. But this is just brushed over because the media loves to show these images, repeat these images. So it's been huge. And then now, of course, it's not just news media, it's also the entertainment media which are doing it. And as well as you, the ones you mentioned where you have these sort of police camera action where they show police excerpts of car chases with cameras, there's also now the CSI effect as well coming from America, where clearly the American public are now being sold the same lie. Because if you watch one of these shows now, a crime is always solved by CCTV. The first question is, do we have video camera footage? As though this is, and if there isn't video camera footage, how on earth could anyone ever solve a crime? As if there was never any crime solved before CCTV. And of course, the problem here is that there are generations growing up who will believe that because they're young enough to know a time when there wasn't CCTV. And in their mind, that must be true. So it's very difficult. The media plays a huge, huge role.
Unfortunately so, and I think we can see that effect for a lot of people, probably not the majority of my regular listeners and viewers who understand how the Video Surveillance Society plays into the creation of a panopticon generally, but I think for the general public there still must be a lot of confusion as to why there would even be an organization against CCTV. Of course, it's just a harmless passive technology that can be used to solve crimes. Why would anyone be against it?
Absolutely. We get it. We get that all the time. People are very, very confused. And in fact, we're campaigning against the cameras. If you checked a local newspaper every day of the week, on the news feeds, the local news feeds in the UK, you'll see more people campaigning for cameras. You have local communities where people think, you know, we're a deprived community. We've got issues here. Why doesn't somebody help us? And rather than think creatively and think what would really solve the problem, they think very short term. They think in terms of what the tabloids has told them. And they think if we had a CCTV camera, all the problems would go away. Forgetting, of course, that all those areas with CCTV cameras have exactly the same sets of problems. But there's a complete disconnect. So, yeah, it's very, very difficult to get that across to people.
Well, let's flesh this out a little bit, because we're not just talking out of thin air here. There are a lot of studies that have been conducted to show that in fact, CCTV does not have the effect on crime rates that people might think in the popular imagination. Let's talk about some of those studies and what they've found.
Absolutely. In the UK, what happened during the end of the 90s, they started to actually evaluate these things and look at the results and put them into some studies. But the really interesting things happened in the early 2000s when they started to put these studies together, because a team of academics started to look at the criteria used for these studies and start saying, well, actually, we can't just say this camera came in and crime dropped by 5 crimes in this area. It's not good enough. You need to actually compare like for like to another area, see what's happening there. Is there a crime rate that's dropping anywhere? Is there other factors at stake? And when they started to put the studies together, they started having to reject them. So they had hundreds of studies, and they started saying, well, no, this study doesn't stand up. This isn't right. This is badly done, badly researched, not enough data. And when they went through hundreds of studies, they actually ended up with 41 in the latest version of the meta study. They did this twice, once in 2002 and once in 2008. And when they did that, in the 2002 version, it said it's really not that good and it's only good in car parks. And then in 2008, they went further and said actually in public housing, cities, public transport, there is no significant effect on crime. And that's a huge statement, no significant effect on crime. This is being sold as the solution to every problem in the world, and yet no significant effect. That means there could be some tiny effect, but equally, just by sheer weight of numbers, this number of cameras, you're bound to capture something. But for the money invested and the civil liberties lost, the trade-off is this just not there. So even if you may think, well, it's worth, you know, maybe it's worth losing a few liberties, it's really not, because it just doesn't stack up. Now, these studies were huge, but very quickly brushed aside, and the government on the back foot with these, because in 2008, this study was completed. The machinations to try and stop this thing getting into the public arena, because there were some inquiries going on in Parliament at the time in the UK into surveillance society. So these things were kept back. Eventually released between two sort of sets of inquiries, one set of inquiries for Surveillance Society and the more recent Protection of Freedoms Bill, which is in the UK. And it fell between these two, so that now they're trying to say, oh, that's too old, that study. And previously they delayed it, so it wasn't out. But this is a huge thing. And when people say, well, they can find a study that shows it works, they won't find a study that works that fits the peer review process, that fits this idea that it has to be to a certain high standard. There isn't a study that exists that shows CCTV works, that isn't a dodgy study. And that's a huge thing.
It's extremely huge. And as you say, this plays into a general understanding of the surveillance society overall, which includes all sorts of different aspects of what's been happening in Britain over the past decade, including the Blair government's failed scheme for an ID card system and all sorts of things that play into a grander scheme here. What do you think is the general public's understanding of the surveillance society in Britain right now?
Unfortunately, I think that the wider public still don't really get it. They don't understand it, partly because Britain has always been a free country in the loosest possible terms of Western democracy. Obviously, it's not truly free, but within a certain boundary. It didn't fall to a fascist state. It's not obviously a totalitarian state, though it's moving steadily that way. So people don't really understand what's going on there. They fail to grasp the dangers of living in a free society and giving that away. And they honestly have bought, a lot of people have bought the rhetoric that the people at the top want to tell us, which is that it's okay, we're good guys, we wouldn't do anything bad to you. It's only the Hitlers of this world that you need to fear. Look at us, we're nice, we're good, we won't do anything wrong. And people do buy into that. So they're happy to see freedoms long cherished in this country given away, parts of the law dismantled, or and say, well, it's okay. We've moved past that era of danger from these outside forces. But of course, that's a foolish way to go. And it's the idea that perhaps somebody's naive would think that this government is good, but only a fool would think that every government from now till eternity will be good. And that's the problem that people are forgetting, and that it's very, very difficult to get people into people's heads. I mean, the ID card project fell in this country, but unfortunately it didn't fall for the right reasons. It fell on cost, really, and efficiencies, not on the true civil liberties argument. And when it really comes to these issues, the bigger groups, civil liberties groups in the UK, don't go after the civil liberties argument, they go on the cost argument. They look for the easy win. And as a result, civil liberties aren't really in people's minds. People don't even really understand what civil liberties are or what freedom is or what it means to live in a free country anymore. So an ID card project is too expensive. It'll be a white elephant, a waste of money. That's why it collapses. So that's a shame that the civil liberties argument don't really get through strongly enough.
On the flip side of that argument, though, I think there is a tendency among at least some people who are aware of the civil liberties that they are losing and aware of how these surveillance technologies plays into that. There is a tendency for some people to give into the fear of that and to basically retreat into a state of shock that this we're being monitored in all senses, so we must give up. But as I understand it, the real raison d'être of an organization like No CCTV is to fight back against that mentality and to empower people to actually get involved in doing something about this surveillance society. So perhaps you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We find when we're out and about talking to people, doing talks, giving presentations, that there are a lot of people who get what's going on, but absolutely, they have given in and believe that this is too big to fight. And what we have to keep trying to press home to them is that it really isn't. That this idea of Big Brother is a concept, but it doesn't exist. There isn't there's a super state somewhere, I'm not going to say there isn't one at all, but really the cameras that you see going up at the end of your road are not being put in by that person. They've been put in by a local official who's doing this. A lot of the groundwork is done at the local level. And in a way, CCTV is easier to fight than ID cards, because ID cards was completely a central government issue. But there are loads of these issues which are still at local level. And at that level, it's so much easier to fight, because that means there's a council meeting that you can go to. You can attend that meeting. You can challenge the people at the top, the councillors in that. And rarely will they have thought this stuff through. They'll often just be saying, this is a good idea. Everyone's going to be in favour. Why not? And when someone comes along with some facts, they will struggle. So what we're constantly trying to tell people is that don't be scared into submission with this stuff. Absolutely, fight it, because there are steps that you can do. We've followed several campaigns through. We've attended meetings. We've worked out the way they try and hide this stuff. And when you get it on your own, it can be difficult. But when there are groups like No CCTV, we can advise you. We can tell you who it is that will put this thing through, who will launder the policy so that it appears to come from somewhere else. But ultimately, there's a lot of groundwork you can do attending meetings and interfering with this stuff. And if weight of numbers, they cannot get this stuff through. It still requires a democratic seal on it somewhere to say the people wanted it. They do still care about saying this is what the public wants. Maybe if we won enough battles, they'd remove that. But at least we'd have forced them into the open to show that there's a false system being set up here. But at the moment, we can still fight it, absolutely.
Well, perhaps you can tell us about some of the campaigns that you've been involved in and some of the successes that you've had.
I mean, in Oxford was the first one we set up, and what we did there was they were trying to put a set of sort of permanently fixed cameras along a road in the east of Oxford, which is not the city centre, quite a bohemian student area, quite a nice area. People loved it in that area, but they wanted to just sort of turn it into everything, every other part of Oxford, all these cameras are. We fought against it. We didn't get a complete victory in that one, but we got them to back down a lot. We got them from 10 fixed cameras down a road to 3 temporary wireless cameras, much smaller cameras, which are much easier to get removed. There were some problems with the campaign at the end, which is where it took 2 years to get the real results on it, and people started to lose interest and go away. All that would require, I'm sure we can get those 3 cameras out of Oxford if people will just get active again. The biggest success story in the last couple of years was in Birmingham, where a campaign group was set there by Steve Jolly, who we worked alongside, and he fought against the cameras, set up number plate recognition cameras and normal cameras, 216 cameras put around certain areas of Birmingham called Project Champion. That was a huge one, and that was a massive victory because in December of 2010, it was announced that those cameras would all go because of the weight of support of public opinion against them. And in 2011, all of those 216 cameras removed from a city, a cost of over £3.5 million, sort of scheme that no one would believe it was possible to get those cameras removed because everyone would say that money's been spent, millions of pounds of public money, but those cameras came down, and that was an enormous victory. And it definitely got the government and the powers that be on the back foot, because that's why a lot of the stuff in the Protection of Freedoms Bill going through now is trying to soft soap the surveillance society. We've had other victories, but some of those are invisible. So what will happen is someone will contact us and they'll say, my local council's planning to put some cameras in, what can we do? We'll help them, point them at some studies, give them some advice. They'll go to a council meeting and a councillor might well back down straight away. So it never appears on the radar. All it is is a seed of an idea. And because that's the best way to get at these problems is to get them really early, nip them in the bud. So we had a few like that. We've had other successes in Birmingham, trying to block a few schemes there. But we've not really got enough active people to stop these, because you really do need that local angle. It's for a group like No Cease TV can be an advisory group, but we can't be all over the country. We can't attend local council meetings. But all it takes is a few people to do that, and then we can get more success.
Absolutely. Well, for those people who might be out there right now listening to this and are aware of the problems and want to get involved but feel overwhelmed by the size of the problem or don't know people in their own area who feel in the same way about this issue, what would be your advice for them in getting involved in this?
Yeah, there's a big problem with how to get people initially into campaigning with this sort of stuff. And there is a problem. The big problem is if you're waiting for someone else to step in and do something, it means it's you that's got to do it. That is a difficult thing for people to understand, but unfortunately, that is the reality. If you're thinking it would be good if somebody did something here, you're the person to do it. You have to get up and do it. But groups like us can advise you how to do it. So that doesn't mean that you have to go on the 6 o'clock news and decry the scheme. You can just go about it quietly, attending council meetings, writing letters, etc. And we can tell people how to do that. There is a blueprint for that, and other campaigners will advise you and want to help you. We're working with campaigners in Northern Ireland, in Australia, on the continent, in Europe, in Germany. So there is a network, and some of these people we do communicate, we talk to each other, we share ideas. So there's a wealth of knowledge there which can be tapped upon, so you wouldn't be alone. But unfortunately, that first step does require the people who are thinking about it to do it.
Well, speaking of that wealth of knowledge and the resource that is No Cease TV, perhaps you can tell people about your website and what kind of information they can find there.
Yeah, the website is www.no-cctv.org.uk. On there, we've got all of the reports, or the most salient reports over the last few years, on particularly on one page, the case against section of the website, we lay out all of those reports. We pull a key quote from each of those. We give the year of the study and a link to the study. That is a massive resource, because that's exactly the sort of thing that you need to get back at a counsellor who says CCTV is brilliant, because they won't have seen these studies, they won't be aware of them, and when you pull out study after study after study which contradicts them, they're going to struggle to contradict that, because these are independent things. They're not done by No CCTV or other anti-CCTV campaigners. They're done by academics, and very often by the Home Office or the police. They're aware this stuff doesn't work. They just don't publicize it. So these studies are huge. We've also got a wealth of articles on there going back over since 2007 with a huge amount of these issues studied in quite detail. Some of them are quite academic in their in the way they're presented, but they're all footnoted very heavily. And that just means that we're passing out information all the time to try and counteract the messages in the media. So what will happen, some new scheme comes along, or they launch something, and the media always just gives the pro side of the story. Getting the other side can be quite difficult. So what we try and do is take that weight off other people. We go away, we do the research, and we footnote everything so that we can't be contradicted, so that people can't say, you've made that up. We go away and do the research. So all of those articles are on there. I've also got things like a frequently asked questions section for just some of the simple arguments against CCTV. We've got video presentations that we've given about the Surveillance Society. And we've also got a forum where people can discuss things. And if people do want to get involved or ask questions of other campaigners, they can contact us either through the website directly or through the forum.
All right, excellent. Well, Charles Ferrier, no-cctv.org.uk, thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay.